Hi, friends. This is We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Joy.
I'm Anna.
And I'm Crystal.
Woo! And welcome to our Conversations with Oscar series, where we will be going through the Best Picture nominees and giving our unfiltered thoughts on each of them. Today, we're discussing The Banshees of Inisherin, starring Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson, Carrie Condon, and Barry Keoghan. It was directed and written by Martin McDonagh, which, fun fact, he's dating a great lady. And it is, along with Best Picture, it is nominated for Best Actor for Colin Farrell, Best Supporting Actress for Carrie Condon, Best Supporting Actor for Barry Keoghan and Brendan Gleeson, Best Original Score for Carter Burrell, Best Director for Martin McDonagh, Best Original Screenplay for Martin McDonagh, Best Film Editing for Mikkel E.G. Nelson. This is The Banshees of Inisherin.
I feckin' loved it.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next time.
We're done. I thoroughly enjoyed it, actually. I was first at the beginning like, what is this movie? What is the fuck going on? And then once I realized like what it was, I'm like, oh, this is really great. I enjoyed it.
I agree.
Yeah, same. I love this movie. It took a minute to grow on me, though, because when I first watched it, I was like, okay. But then I sat with it for a couple days, and I was like, wow, that was really good. Okay.
Yeah, same. I think because I was taking it at face value, and I wasn't... It's because it's clearly a fable on, like... divide and I don't know too much about the war in Ireland and all of that stuff, but like in any war, really, there's brothers against brother, you know, friends against friends, like things are torn apart. And this is kind of like a fable about that. So once I realized what it was, I was like, oh, this is really good. Great.
I was into it from the get go. I loved that it started with a punch in the face of, you know, he's so happy, and his little eyebrows are dancing, and he's walking along in Ireland, and he makes his way down to his best friend's place, and he's ignored. And he's like, what did I do? Because that's me. Like, oh, wait, she sounded angry when she answered the phone. Are we
you're fighting? Like, too real.
Can I say something? Are we fighting? Let me go check in and make sure we're not fighting. And then we're fighting. I loved it from the jump.
That's so funny. Yeah, especially because like it's on TV right now, and so I just saw the first shot, and the first shot is just like him doo doo doo, and there's like a fucking rainbow. it just was really great, and like I at first I was like, I kind of get Colm's idea of like, I don't have a lot of time to live. So I'm going to, like, make sure my time is worthy. But I thought, like, I like my friends. So, like, I wouldn't want to put them away from me. So I was kind of seeing both sides of it, actually.
I rewatched it the other day.
Three times.
Really?
I rewatched it the other day to make some more notes. And Brendan Gleeson's character, Colm made just so much more sense to me this time around. Because the first time you're like, but Colin Farrell is just so like kind-hearted, and he's just so good, and he's so like innocent. Like, why would you turn that away? But I get it. It reminds me of, and I don't know if you guys have had this experience. I had this experience all the goddamn time, where you have that one class, like you have science class, and there's some girl next to you who you don't have any other classes with. you've never seen her around except for in science class. You sit next to each other, you get on, you're having a grand time. She's your partner for labs, and you're like, I'm so glad to have made a friend in this class. I'm not alone. I didn't know anybody else in this class. And now I have a buddy. You sit next to each other, you share notes, you do homework together. And then she's like, hey, let's grab lunch before class. And you're like, okay. And you go and you have lunch, and it's the most awkward lunch of your life. You have nothing in common. She like eats with her mouth, like speaks with her mouth full or something. And it's just like this really awkward, like, I don't like you, but I need you because you're my only friend in this class. So you're going to hold on to her for dear life for the next 4 weeks while this class finishes. And she's going to be like, I had so much fun. Let's hang out again. You're like, yeah, sure.
This sounds very personal, Anna.
This happened to me all the time. I have friends on like Instagram and Facebook that I'm like, I had that one class with you and you were nice and we had a great time, but we had nothing in common outside of that. And like, we really, I found you quite annoying actually, but I like, you were the only other person to talk to. What am I going to do? And I was like, I get you, Brendan Gleeson. I mean, you're a little extreme about it. I wouldn't be like, stop talking to me or I'll cut off my fingers.
And they say women are so dramatic. Oh my God.
Men are so dramatic. See, that's exactly what I thought throughout this whole thing. I was like, oh my God, this is the first time a man has a feeling about something. So he's got to go tear his friendship apart. Like, other.
He's like, really? No.
Literally. And like, us on the other end, we have feelings all the time. We're not going to break apart our friendships because of one feeling. Like,
also, like, I'm pretty sure, like, Paul Rick sounds like a good enough guy that he would have understood, like, oh, he needs some space. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, but I'll figure it out. Like, he, if again, if they, I don't know, communicated, call him, hey, I need some time to myself because I got to write this shit. Like, the flow's coming. I can't stop. So I need you to just, like, hang back, homie. Go sip a pint with homie over there who dad beats him. Like, I need you to stay over there. But like, he would have understood. He really would have, I think.
But here's the thing is that Colin didn't really hate him. He didn't really dislike him. Because when he was hurt and in need of help, he was there for him. When he found out the donkey died, when Jenny died, he was genuinely upset and felt bad. He felt so awful for him. So it's not like he woke up and was like, you know what, I really can't stand you and I don't want to be your friend anymore. It was more his own shit that he just was blaming on Paul.
Yeah, he was projecting.
Oh, but I'm like, you don't really hate this guy because you actually care about him. It just...
So, okay, you're going to not talk to Paul Rick, but you're going to talk to this son of a bitch sheriff in town? What the hell?
Exactly. He actually has a reason to be. He actually is shitty. He's not just like a random, like, maybe half a brain person, but he's actually an asshole. So, like, you'll take an asshole over a boring person?
Yeah, I was like, oh, you hang out with this guy? Sure, Colm, whatever.
But the first time I watched this movie, I did not notice that he was completely naked in that scene where they sneak into his house. I guess I wasn't, like, paying close. I was, like, laying down, and it was, like, right after the holidays. So I was, like, I fell asleep the first time I watched it, and I had to go back and rewind it a little bit. So maybe I wasn't, like, fully paying attention, but this time I was like, oh, that's a penis. Okay.
And the first time I watched it, I was like, ugh. I was, like, so taken aback. I was like, please take it away.
I didn't even notice. It's all white. Like, it's all just okay.
It was like all quiet and much for fun. I was like this. Read the captions. Read the captions. That's all I gotta see.
But this, I had no idea Martin McDonagh was also a playwright.
Yeah.
And I had no idea that I had seen one of his plays on Broadway.
Oh, wow.
So this was supposed to be a play, and you can definitely feel that throughout. This was supposed to be the third in a series of plays about the Aran Islands. He has another series... a trilogy about another set of islands in Ireland. And this was supposed to be the third in a series that included The Cripple of Inishmore and The Lieutenant of Inishmore. And The Cripple of Inishmore I saw in New York with Daniel Radcliffe. And I think Carrie Condon may have been in it.
Nice. Wow.
Or she was in a production of it, but not the Broadway production. I can't find a complete answer, and I forgot to pull out my playbill. But yeah. It definitely had.
Yeah, the play-like dialogue was a little bit annoying in the beginning, because they do that thing where it's like, they say one thing, like, how are you doing? I'm doing great. How are you doing? It was back and forth, the same shit, and I was like, please, let's move on. So that was a little bit annoying in the beginning, but once I remembered that he was a player, I was like, okay. Okay, fine. Just get it going.
It also kind of makes sense because it's such a it's just a small little town.
Yeah.
Like, in the early 1900s, like, I feel like that's kind of how it would have been.
Also, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but this movie absolves Martin McDonagh of his Three Billboards crimes for me, which I cannot believe
that happened. Oh my god.
Yeah. Just fuck that movie, but this was amazing to me. So there we go. And also written directed by that bitch. So I don't even know what to say anymore. Who is me? What is life? Is this a ceiling or a floor or a sky?
You know what it is? It's because he's writing about what he knows. Writing about like middle America, racial issues, women and sexism. He's writing about what he knows. So
I'm gonna get pissed off, so I'm not gonna talk about it.
But also, it's because you're a big enough person, Crystal, to realize that people have dualities in them, and they can also make bad shit and make really good shit.
Side note.
People are complex.
Side note, listeners, listen to that episode, because even though we disagreed a lot, that's a really great episode. It was one of my favorites, because we trust each other and love each other enough to have discussions like that, so it was a really great back and forth. So it was one of my favorites. That one and Lady Bird were my two favorites we've ever recorded. So listen to those. I'll link them in the show notes. Okay, thank you. Yeah, but fuck that movie. Anyways,
that's so funny because like I was fully going into this being like, is it really gonna be good? I was like, the last thing I saw from him, I was truly disgusted.
After I was like, son of a bitch.
And I did not like how he treated the women in there. I did not like what he was doing with America.
But let's not talk about that movie. Fuck that movie. I don't want to talk about it.
Once he's on his own island, he's doing great. He's doing amazing. Like, he really understands these like interpersonal relationships. Oh, and I'm like, God. Oh wow. He's good. And then also he's dating a Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And when I saw them together at the Golden Globes, I was like, fuck, I like you now, I guess. That's fine. If she likes you, I like you. I guess you pass.
I respect him for... someone asked, like, who's your favorite writer? And he said, my girlfriend. And I was like, yeah.
That's exactly, bitch. That's the right answer. The only answer. That should be his only answer forever.
I'm going to break up.
Shut up, you're so mean.
I had an epiphany about Siobhan the second time I watched it. I feel like she is the Irish version of Belle. She just doesn't have a beast. She is this bookish, smart, intelligent person who does not belong in her small little town. She is meant for so much more. I could basically
much more than this provincial life, right?
Basically singing that in her head over and over again. Yep. I love the little ways that she doesn't fit in, like that bright yellow coat she's wearing.
It's so gorgeous.
She wears so many colors that no one else wears. She sticks out like a sore thumb. And I love that she even corrected Colm about it was
the 18th century, actually, bitch.
Like, you think you're so above my brother, but even you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah, it's like you're all fucking dumb or whatever she said. I was like, yes, get him, Jade. I love it. It's so funny. So good. And she's like, I gotta put me first. Like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. All of y'all stupid. I can't.
Brother so much that I love. I love how much that was evident. It wasn't like, I have to get away from worst. It was, I love him and he's a good person and I want to be here with him, but I can't be here anymore.
Yeah. And like, that's, especially at that time, like for a woman to take that plunge and be, that's scary anytime to go on your own and do something new. But like, especially then she's leaving everything she knows for
land.
Yeah. Yeah. And she knows that I think because she Also, she kind of feels like she maybe needs to let Podrick on his own too, because he's a person who's attached to people. He wants, you know, all the time, and so I went like this, like uppies, all the time. So, like she knows that he needs to grow as well, and I think that's I love me a story with siblings at the forefront. I love it. So more of those, please. Thank you.
I know, and it's like he actually got that relationship right. He got all the relationships so like authentic and genuine, and they like genuinely got mad at each other, but they equally still loved each other. And even like how he's so like careful with what's his name? Is it Doug?
Dominic,
something with a D.
Doug, yeah, it's Doug.
Dominic, that he's like so like he wants to take care of him, but he also is annoyed with him, and then like he's trying to like protect him from his sister, but he's also saying like really dumb shit. The dinner table scene was just like the funniest fucking thing I've ever, like, I did not think Martin McDonagh was capable of comedy, but this was comedy. That was like peak comedy when he's like, this house is really depressing. She's like, okay, then fuck off.
And that's actually what I think Martin McDonagh's strength is the black comedy. And he kind of strayed away from it in Three Billboards. Because the play I saw, the Cripple of Inishmont, is very the same. It's about a boy who's crippled. He's something's wrong with his leg. I think maybe it was polio or something. And there's somebody on the island who's looking for someone who's going to star in a movie. And he's convinced it's going to be him. But everyone's like, you're the little crippled boy who likes to hang out with the cows in the field, like, and you're gonna be on in a movie, kind of vibe, and it's very funny.
I am like Barry Keoghan. Has he ever had a bad role? Like, he's out here all the time, and I love how like he brings the same energy to the Banshees of Inisherin that he does to like the Eternals, or like he can like play like, especially the swag he had in Eternals. Like, the movie was whatever, but like, his just walking into a room, his presence, he was just like, I am here and I am the shit and that is it. Like, I love that. And here he's much completely different. Mm-hmm. And even like his small role in Chernobyl was really good too. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him do anything bad. That's amazing to me.
He has such like stage presence and has like, he was such a scene stealer in this, considering that like, you know, Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson are, like, playing off of each other, and then Carrie Condon, and he slips right in there and is able to, like, take, you can't, like, take your eyes off him. Like, he's just as good as these big guys, if not times better. Like,
he's so great. He's so great. Barry Keoghan, love also, you.
Like, he was raised in 13 different foster homes.
Yeah.
I just found that, I just read that the other day. Mm-hmm. Like, boy has lived a life. He's my age. He's 30. Hey. He's got a girlfriend and a baby, but whatever.
That baby is cute. He posts all the time about it. It's so cute.
Oh, really? On Instagram?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to follow him.
He's great. He every now and then responds on Twitter to people.
Aww.
Yeah, he's cool. He's cool. Like, I know him. the Ireland, beautiful scenery. What like a promotion for visiting Ireland. Like, wow.
But the tourism board was like, can we borrow some shots? You know what? Okay, so I watched some behind the scenes stuff. And I am so upset that when I was putting down like the nominations it got, that it was not in cinematography. Because what the fuck? Does anyone have eyes? Like, did they watch this? Did they just skip? They heard it, but they didn't like see it or something?
The light was so beautiful.
I don't understand. Literally, okay, so like Martin McDonagh and the cinematographer Ben Davis, he was telling him, he was like, I don't want this to be, even though it's like a dark comedy, I don't want it to be like, ooh, sad, Ireland is sad and it's rainy and sad and these people are sad. No, he's like, I want to show it off. I want it to be beautiful. I want it really,
yeah,
the natural landscape and everything. And he's like, and then while we were shooting one day, this rainbow pops up and it's too perfect.
Yeah, like just the slow pans of that every time they would walk across the beach to go from their house to the main part of the city. Like, I mean, do they really have to do much work to show Ireland? Is that gorgeous? Like, oh my God.
I don't know. Like, and it's like Anna mentioned in the last one, yeah, it's really easy to like see cinematography as like the naturalistic, the landscape, the whatever. But like you can tell when it's done with intention, when it's done with thoughtfulness, and it's done really well. One of the things that I found interesting is that like they wanted to start shooting it on film, but then actually ended up shooting it on digital. But they did a process in post where the stuff that they shot on film, they converted to digital and then converted back to film, which I don't even know how that works. I really want to find out. But it makes everything look so good and so crisp and so vibrant. And considering that, like, Ireland and other movies that I've seen are, like, just the UK, like, those islands in general, that area of the world, even, like, Iceland and Greenland, whatever, it just generally looks, like, so sad and bleak because it's, like, gray and, like, stormy and whatever, but it was just so lush and so beautiful. I was like, what? Like, everything was like a postcard. Everything was like,
yeah.
I don't know how it didn't get into cinematography, because even like the shot of Brendan Gleeson sitting in the, I don't know, what's the Catholic thing where they're confessing, the confession booth or whatever. Yes. And there's some light on him, but there's the glass stained window of like the cross or something. That was perfect. Like when God, what's his name? Padraic. When Padraic is looking inside the window at Brendan Gleeson and he's sitting there, like the watcher watching him, and he's just like so in effect, and the lighting was so nice. And they were using so much candlelight, and the way it reflected off of the walls, off of every, oh my God.
Yeah, like it kind of bouncing off of what you said. That's probably my favorite shot of the whole movie, is where he's looking at the very beginning. Padraic is looking at Colm through his house, and like we only see Colm because of Padraic's reflection. Oh my God, I love that. Or even just a shot of him sitting in his chair and like that. And there's another shot of like Colin Farrell walking, and there's like the really purple, yellowy sunset behind him. Like, oh my God, get out of here. It's so gorgeous.
One of my favorite notes that I found about this movie was pointing out how Colm's house is like down towards the water and it's all craggy, and you have to like work to get down there and back up, versus Padraic, which is up on like a flat piece of land and it's very plain and very boring, and like showing that duality of the like their minds.
Right. Like,
I love when people think about this shit, because I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah, because, like, Padraic is, like, so accessible and personable and extroverted. And, like, Colm is, like, you really got to work at, you know, getting to know him, having the privilege of knowing him, and, like, really being his friend, you know?
Yeah. There's a great shot, too, of later in the movie, where I believe the sun is setting or already set it, and the Colm's house is, like, in the corner. And you just see, like, the water.
Oh, yeah.
It's so pretty. Like, I want that hanging in my house. It was so pretty.
Then we got to visit Ireland, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, sure. I really enjoyed the performances as well. I think that I love Colin Farrell. Like, he is so charming in this movie. He's charming in real life. Not that I would know. But, like, he's just so all shucks. And it's interesting to me, his trajectory of his career, because he was like a Hollywood bad boy for a long time.
Yeah.
Now he's like, I watched his Actors on Actors with Jamie Lee Curtis, and he's just so excited about like acting. He's just like, I'm excited to be here. This is so fun. I get to talk to you. And he's like, I know I made shit movies, but like each of those were purposeful. Like he talks about when he made Fright Night, many, many years ago, he was like, the movie, no one liked it, but it was shit maybe, but my mom met her future husband on that film set. So that's important to me for that. And what? He's like, the other movie he made with years ago, he's like, no one saw that either, but I met my kid's mother on that movie. So that's important to me. He was like, these big movies are great and they're fun, but they're almost never the ones that I love, because it's the behind the scenes things that like make it a whole for me. I was like, that's so cute. I love that. He's great.
So cute. He's so great. And you know what? Best supporting actor to his two eyebrows for doing all the work. Him and Emilia Clarke are eyebrow siblings. They're eyebrow siblings because the way those things move, they are straight up like 45 degree angles sometimes. It's insane. Like, how is your face moving that much? It's so much. Like, that's doing...
You know...
That's going to get him the Best Actor Oscar award because his eyebrows were helping him.
Listen. Maybe you're not wrong.
My favorite line delivery of the whole movie is him saying, "You danced with your dog." "I don't dance, but you danced with your dog."
My favorite is when he's like, "I'm not putting my donkey out when I'm sad, okay? I love that."
Yeah.
I want that on a fucking t-shirt. I will wear that. Oh my God.
I immediately, watching this movie, I was like, what do I need to do to own a little black miniature donkey? Because I need one. She's the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen. And watching her sad little limp body laying across his while he's in the house with her killed me. Killed me.
I was like, oh no, now he really is all alone. Oh no.
He writes to his sister telling her, like, the animals are fine. Dominic is okay. Completely lying to her and just letting her believe that he's okay and everything's just as she left it.
R.I.P. Jenny. Love you. That was Best supporting actress, Jenny. What the hell? Also, I love another notch in Martin McDonagh that I'm a fan of him now. Maybe not a fan, but whatever. He paid for Jenny's retirement. He fell in love with Jenny so much during the shoot that he paid for her to retire so now she can roam Ireland freely.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I'm gonna cry.
Yeah.
That's so cute. I love that thought of Jenny just like grazing around Ireland. Just being happy.
Animals, I think, are such a great equalizer. You can always tell a lot about a person by the way they treat or think about animals. One thing I didn't get to I forgot to mention in the last podcast where we talked about All Quiet on the Western Front. In the book, in World War I, horses were still being used in war. And there's a lot of scenes in the book where, you know, they're hiding out in the trenches and they can hear the horses dying and whining, and they can't do anything about it because if they, you know, get up and shoot, then they're giving away their position. And they can also hear men out there crying out for help and they can't do anything. It was awful. And I was like, oh, and they also eat horses at some points because they need food. And there's a dead horse there. That's a lot of meat. And I was like, if I have to watch this, I'm going to lose it. I'm going to cry and I'm going to be inconsolable and I'm not going to be able to finish the movie. So I was very grateful that that part was left out. Very grateful.
Man.
Sorry to bring it down.
No, I'm just looking at my notes trying to find where to...
I was worried for you, Anna, whenever I was watching the movie, because I was like, I know something's bad's going to happen, but I was like, is it going to happen to Colm's dog? Is it going to happen to Jenny or someone else? I was like, Anna's going to die if this happens.
If something happened to that dog, I really would have lost my shit. But Paul Rick is such a good person that he would never let anything happen to that dog.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And that's what I loved.
Yeah, he probably would have never, I mean, it's like you said earlier, like, Colm feels sad about, genuinely feels sad about Jenny. So I don't think any revenge they have with each other is not going to be through the animals. Because they respect the animals just as much as they would people, I feel.
Yeah, more so.
Yeah, yeah.
They have that conversation where he's talking about like, oh, I'm thinking of naming the piece The Banshees of Inisherin. And he's like, well, there's no banshees anymore. But Mrs. McCormick is a banshee. She predicts the death. And although I guess we don't know much about her, banshees are typically, they wail and predict the death of their own family members. So maybe she's somehow related to Dominic, but.
Or Jenny.
Or Jenny. but yeah, I thought that was interesting. A lot of Forrest Gump references and stuff with the Jenny of it all. I just thought
I'd throw out. Do kids know what Forrest Gump is? Like, I wonder if Gen Z knows, has heard of Forrest Gump.
They have to.
Really? Okay. Because it came out when I was pretty young.
Did maybe they make him watch it? We used to have to watch that in, like, history or social studies. To really? Like, yeah, yeah. To, like, learn about history.
Wow.
The days that, you know, we had a substitute teacher, they would throw on Forrest Gump. So maybe they still do that in school. I don't know. I've been out.
You know what they threw on the TV when it was history and they didn't want to teach? A war movie. I saw war movies in school and I was like, isn't this rated R?
I was in the fifth grade when we watched The Patriot with Mel Gibson. Oh,
I remember watching The Patriot too. Yeah.
We had to, it's an R-rated movie. We had to get permission slip signed to watch it. Yeah. Anyway, I was going with this whole Forrest Gump thing. It's quoted a lot in my family right now because my little niece, she ain't got no legs. She's so short. She's all torso and no legs. All of her pants, like, are so long. So my brother-in-law all the time goes around going, "She ain't got no legs, Lieutenant Dan." And it's terrible, but it's also my favorite thing. Because my baby girl ain't got no legs. Anyway, just an insight into my ludicrous family. Joy's losing her shit.
Set design.
I should not be laughing at this. Oh my god.
Set design. I love the yellow walls in Colin's house. Forge.
And the masks. His
bitch has style.
Yeah, but if, like, again, if you're comparing it to, like, Parik's house, like, Parik's is very plain and it's stone and it's cold, and Colm's is, like, warm with the mask. It's, like, cultured.
Creative.
Although I would love to see Brendan Gleeson climb those stairs to go up to that bedroom.
So I've never seen In Bruges, but that's also Martin McDonagh, Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson joint. And in that movie, the characters are, Colin and Brendan are swapped. So Colin plays more of like a mean guy and Brendan's more of like subdued. So I'm interested to see that movie just because they're so great. Both of them are great actors. I want to see like the duality of them. That would be great. My
father-in-law is very good.
Oh, that's me! I forgot about that.
Oh, that's so cute.
He's very kind.
Is he? That's great.
That's so, I love that for you. I love that you know him like that.
Yeah. You're besties with your pop-in-law. That's cute.
We're very close.
Aww. What did he get you for Christmas?
He knitted me a sweater.
That's so cute.
He didn't get fingers?
No, I begged him not to.
Remember when we got you like a piece of land or something and you're like anointed? Remember that, Anna? Remember that?
Oh yeah, you're like a lady of like Scotland.
I am Lady Anastasia.
Mm-hmm. She is.
That's what you should intro yourself to this episode.
It's still framed. Oh, I can't move my computer, else it'll disconnect. But it's still framed on my myself.
Oh,
yep.
I don't know about you guys. I should not have eaten before I watched this movie because as soon as those fingers came off, I was like, no, it was not. That was too much. I did not expect.
Oh, he did it? Damn.
I halfway didn't expect him to actually like go through with it and like cut off his fingers. But then it started happening, and I was like, this bitch is crazy. This bitch is losing it.
He went from one to, like, all five or all four. I was like, where's two, three? Come on.
Yeah, start, like, can you go one by one at least? Like, you know how to play your thing.
I was very glad to have finished eating before I started All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was going to be gross, but I needed it all. I was like, nope, water. Water for me.
Wish I would have thought of that about that while I was catching up on The Last of Us today. We'll talk about that later. But We're all going to start crying if we keep going.
I felt joy in tears yesterday. We'll just leave it at that, okay? Like, my tissues from crying are still here. Just so you know. Anyways, so this movie is great. I really liked it. I don't know what else to say other than I liked it.
Do we want to categories? Yes? Okay. Yeah,
you can read them off, Yui.
Best actor.
Yeah, I agree.
Duh, yes.
Do you think he's going to win?
I think so. I wanna be enthusiastic that he will. Of what I've seen, hold on, let me go to the list.
Ooh.
I
know Paul Mescal is not gonna win,
but his nomination is his win. That's amazing for him.
Yeah.
But goddamn.
I didn't realize he was only like 25 or something. I thought he was like my age or something. He's so young. Yeah.
Baby.
He looks older for sure.
So this nomination, it's interesting because we talk about like ingenues and like the actress category, but hardly ever the actor. So like Austin Butler as well, he's a young guy, and like it's very interesting to see like the tables turn on that regard.
For Paul Mescal, his first TV role, he got nominated for a BAFTA and an Emmy.
Yeah.
And for his first big movie role, like his first lead role, he nominated for an Oscar.
To watch this movie because that's amazing.
I do want to watch the movie because it was female directed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
don't get me started.
Girl, we'll get there. Well, I mean, this is the only one I've seen. But I know he's good. I know he's consistent. He's been good for a long time. I wouldn't be mad if he won, because I do think he deserves it for this role, and I don't think it's one of those like the other ones that we get when people are older and they just kind of get it for like a lifetime.
We know Oscars work. They always tend to award a career, and they're gonna like that. Colin Farrell's paid his dues. He's made the shit movies. He's still enthusiastic, but still, you know, makes.
Yeah.
He was in the Batman, but I always forget that he was Penguin. He's so fantastic in that movie.
I need to watch that still.
Joyous. You want to talk cinematography?
I know, bitch. I've seen the shots. See that? That was easy to find shots.
Oh, my God.
I lived vicariously through Twitter showing me all the shots of everything in that movie.
I remember sitting in the theaters, like, I know we're talking about Batman, but, like, sitting in the theater going, wow, how is this so good? Like, I was not expecting it to be that fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, not comic booky, just, like, a movie. And, like, Bruce is like a detective. You see him like figure out clues and shit. I'm like, what is this, Sherlock? I love it. Oh my God. And then like I've only actually ever seen Robert Pattinson like maybe a couple of times before that, because I saw the first Twilight, but I don't remember. So I just wasn't aware of his acting. He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Yes.
Wow. Anyways, sorry, go ahead.
So Colin Farrell, yeah. Has anyone else watched you've seen Elvis Anna, but and you've seen Paul Mescal. Has anyone seen Living?
No, but I'm gonna if it's available, I'm gonna try and see it.
I have not, but I do really think Bill Nighy is a great actor.
Yeah. But I didn't hear about this movie until like 2 days before nominations came out. Like I didn't see anybody talking about it at all.
Yeah, I heard it on some like short list or something like a good while ago. But that was it. I didn't hear anything after that. So, yeah, we'll see. Okay, next one. Go ahead.
Best supporting actress, Carrie Condon.
I mean, she does a good job, but the role itself is very underwritten to me. I feel like it could have been more. Yeah, she has a purpose of like, I got to get out of here. I love my brother, but I got to go. But I think if her role was just a little bit more left out, I would have liked it more. But she does a good job, so good for her.
It's very much supporting actress in a play feel.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's good. I like her. I'll keep her in there. I'm not going to kick her out.
Yeah.
She's not going to win.
No.
And I'm okay with that, because I got two front runners in that, and I'm really...
When we get there.
It's really hard to pick. I'm not... Oh, have a fight. I don't got one.
Next one.
Best supporting actors. There's two of them in there. Barry Keoghan and Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah, Barry Keoghan. Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree. They're both great.
I agree.
Fantastic. Yeah, they definitely deserve it. Barry Keoghan's
part was a lot smaller than Brendan Gleeson's, but he was so impactful.
Yes, yeah.
Also, Barry Keoghan is a really good thing about, like, because any lesser actor would have made it a caricature, and, like,
yes,
he's so good at giving you just enough to make it feel real, but not over, he's not an over actor, he's a, like, a perfect amount of an actor, if that makes any sense. He's so good!
I don't know if it's something about, like, how he carries himself or his face or what, but you can always see the humanity in his character, especially for someone like this, like, you felt bad for him, but you didn't pity him. You still, like, wanted to care for him as a person.
Right.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, and I love, like, they didn't shy away from, so the scene where he's, Colm is taking Parak home, and he's crying is happening, and that's very sweet. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. It's Colm Farrell, so adorable, crying. What I liked about Barry Keoghan is, like, he acts with his entire body.
Yes.
He's not just the words or the face, he in his shoulders and the way he stands against that little, against the wall of the bar, or how he sits at the table when he's talking to them. Like, he just gets it. He's so good.
He inhabits a character very well.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure. Best original score, Crystal.
Yes, I have a lot of notes on the score, actually. So, at first I thought it kind of sounded like Severance with the whole, like, ding, ding, with the whole, xylophone. Have you ever seen Severance?
Watch it.
It's fucking amazing. Anyways, yeah, I like that it sounds a little bit like that. But then it starts to feel a little bit nostalgic because it reminds me of, like, a family film from the 90s, like, I don't know, like Jumanji, Edward Scissorhands. It's magical, but it's also grounded. Like, the groundness of the strings in the bottom kind of shows you, like, these are people in a real place, that is Ireland. These are real people, farmers, whatever. But then the magical nature of the flute at the top is, like, telling you this is a fable. We're telling you the story through this. With real people. So the magical groundness of that is reflected in the score because of the, like, once I realized it was a fable, everything kind of clicked for me. So I really, really like that. Also, it plays with Colm. He's very serious. He's very, like, you know, like you said, like, his house is down there. He's into the ground. He's very strings and all that. Whereas Parak is up here. He's all about the flutes and he's all about the fun and the fucking rainbows and, you know, all that stuff. And so the score echoes the actors and their characters. And I love that. I think it's fantastic. And same thing with Carter Burrell is a composer, and he did Three Billboards as well. And that was the only thing I liked about that movie. And this is the same thing, but it has a character to it. Whereas Billboards was kind of like a straight, I wouldn't say like American, well, I guess more American, but this just felt like, it felt like two people coinciding, much like a movie. So I thought that was really good.
I think I read that Martin McDonagh was, his one note was like, don't make it like Irish.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I liked the score. It felt like that after he first visits Colm, it feels very like curious and almost like a mystery, kind of like you're watching like a, like you said, like a 90s home, like, yeah. I'm going to go discover what that's about. Kind of like,
yeah,
explorer type. I really enjoyed it. I noticed it a lot more in my second go around.
Yeah, it feels very like home adventure. Let's find out what this is. I'm excited about it. And then I compare a lot to Jumanji, because Jumanji is real people in the real world, but they're dealing with like magical things that aren't. So I think that's very interesting. So yeah, once I realized the duality of that, was I was like, oh, this is like another locked of a level that I figured out about it. So I thought it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, it was good. What you guys said. Best director for Martin McDonagh.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Would you have ever thought?
No.
Would you have ever thought you would have been, yeah, he's fucking great, after seeing Three Billboards? Yeah, he's one of the men that can stay. He did do really well here.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so well directed. What can I say?
I don't know.
I agree. I think it was great. He is not...
This, oh, yeah, you look at the nominees.
This category vexes me because I have seen one of them. I haven't seen two of them, but we know Spielberg is quality.
Yeah, yeah.
But the three I have seen, I love them, and I think they all deserve to be there.
Interesting.
Can we make it, you know, 8 nominees?
So I read this thing, like, whenever the nominations came out, and they were like, well, no, there's 10 movies, why can't there be more than 5 actors or actresses or directors, at least directors nominated, because there's 10 films. I thought that was an interesting argument, because the person on the, I think it was Next Best Picture podcast, I think that's what it was, I can't remember. They were saying, like, yeah, just make it 10, like, the movies, because... the director is, like, the lead of the movie, so Best Picture should also reflect Best Director, mostly. So, interesting arguments were made.
I just want to add at least one more.
What?
Director. I want to add at least one more director. Oh.
Okay. It'd be very interesting. That'd be a very interesting change to make. I think I'd be down for if they added more for directors, but I think for actors and actresses, they have a hard enough time picking all the right ones anyways.
Or what if they split it, like, best, like, because they have actor and actress, why not have, like, 2 director categories then?
I feel like that would be a cop-out for them, and them just being like, see, look, women directors nominated. I don't know. I feel like that would be too easy of a win for them.
Especially because there is a push for them to eliminate the gender-specific...
I understand that, and I understand the sentiment behind it, but my fear is what will happen is that it'll be... so much harder for the actresses to get a nomination. It already is sometimes hard for them to get noticed, and they're going to get noticed even less. So I feel like that, it sounds like it would equal the playing field and getting rid of those barriers, but I feel like it would just, it's the same thing when they, for example, when they were complaining that no animated movies were getting nominated for Best Picture. What they do, create a different category so that they could be recognized. That's what it would be like to me. That's what I feel like would happen.
I agree. It's not a perfect answer. It's not a perfect solution. But I feel like, yeah, it's just not.
That's a very complex conversation to have. I think, yeah, there's not one right answer for that yet. I think more brains need to get together and brainstorm.
Brainstorm. Yeah. And I feel like we're missing an integral piece of the puzzle to have that conversation.
Yeah, also same.
Anyway, what's the next category?
We got 2 more. Original screenplay, Martin McDonagh. I think it's very original, and I think it's very good. Wow. That's new.
I can't fucking believe it.
He actually did it. What a
I think that's a strong category this year.
It is.
It's the same as director. Now that
it's it. Like original screenplay is always like the cool kid category, you know. Mm-hmm. So the I feel like the more interesting films are nominated for best original screenplay.
Yeah,
it's always. Although I would have loved for Nope to be here, but whatever.
Oh my God. Okay. Don't get me started. I could put Nope in like 10 of these categories.
Well, that's right. Yeah. But especially original. Because that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's already an Oscar winner. What the hell? Like.
There's a bunch of other Oscar winners that get more awards for shit movies.
Because the Academy is allergic to horror movies. Whatever.
Best film editing.
I never feel qualified to have it.
Of the ones I've seen, I'm going to say it was good and it can stay. But I have a clear winner in my head of film editing.
Yeah. I think we all do.
Yeah. Well, yes and no.
Ooh, I can't wait. I can't wait. What was that sound they just made? What the fuck was that? Was that a banshee? Oh my God.
She's also wearing like a blanket, so you need to have like a hoodie over.
I look like fucking Bruno in this blanket.
We don't talk about Bruno.
No, they don't. All right, that's all the categories.
Not right now, not that right now.
So this is a pretty fucking good movie. Like, it's great.
We gotta rank it, and this is gonna be so hard.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh, I don't have my rankings, guys.
Of course.
Let's give her 10 minutes to think about it.
Even though they're gonna change next week, so whatever.
I have a feeling we're all on the same boat where this is number one and All Quiet on the Western Front is number two.
Banshees, 1917, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Shut up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It is number one and two for reals.
Yeah.
As we get through it, I feel like that'll definitely change. Because there's a, like you said, I don't know which one you said it, but there's a lot of variety this year in terms of, like, genre, screenwriting, just, like, content in general. So it's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out, and I can't wait. This is so much fun.
Yeah, the group, it's a very eclectic group of films. Like, it's just, it's really interesting.
Yeah, I know better people or more pattern finding people could find a way to weave these ones together, but I don't really know of like a common thread between most of these other than their movies.
I think this is also a product of this them so many years ago opening the Oscar, like the pool of voters, whatever year it was, where they're like, they opened up to more people, and then they got rid of a lot of people who were in there, like, for many, many years. Because I remember the rules were, like, you have to have worked for 30 years, and if you haven't worked in 30 years, they revoke your membership unless you had won, or you consistently worked for 30, or something like that. So basically, all these older folks were voting, and they maybe made two movies, but yet they were a member, and so they were getting to vote. And it was the same kind of person, so that's why I got the same kind of Oscars. But I think as years go by, we see the result of that change. Because last year, Parasite was the big one, I think, is when it felt like a definite shift. And this is another example of that, I think.
Yeah.
Any last minute thoughts?
I love Colin Farrell's eyebrows. That's about it.
They love you too. They told me.
Thank you. They were
at the end of the movie. It's Morse code that they're doing. It's
Oh my God.
We'll be back with the rest of the nominees for Best Picture. So stay tuned. Bye.
Bye. Bye.